All right, we're signing you all up for karaoke next time, okay? You gotta come join us for that. Y'all, what a very special day that we get to celebrate together as we are preparing our hearts for baptism and to head to Morgan Creek after this. So I hope you will make plans to join us for lunch and heading down to the creek after. I've got my baptism shoes on, so ready to go in the water. One of my favorite TV shows of all time, The West Wing. Written by Aaron Sorkin, 7 seasons, 154 episodes, some of the best character development and dialogue, witty dialogue that you can write for television. One of the things that I really love about it is this kind of activity, right? That is, it was a show that really brought to light the walk and talk. So instead of a positioned stationary camera in one place, maybe panning here or panning there, zooming in or zooming out, they got the Steadicam, right? And so all of these scenes where they are walking, there's somebody walking backwards in front of them with a camera. And so capturing what life is actually like inside the White House. Bartlett for president, anyone? Okay. some of you get it. All right, you are with me. But actors like Martin Sheen, right? Bradley Whitford, Allison Janney, John Spencer, so many amazing actors in this show, elevating this this place that we've often not had a glimpse inside of at this point. It started in 1999, which I realize is now a while ago. It doesn't feel like that long ago, but thank you. But this way of shooting film in all 154 episodes, nearly all of them have some sense of the walk and talk. The walk and talk is this invitation, right, that we feel like we can be a part of what's happening. We're actually getting a glimpse into it, that we can see ourselves in the story. And I really, this is season one, episode one, and nearly a 3-minute walk and talk. The longest walk and talk, I don't even remember how many minutes it is, but they shot straight 9 hours. Wow. That they to get like a 5-minute clip. But all of the actors moving in sequence at the right time, in the right place, having to do it all in one take. But this way of the walk and talk, made popular by The West Wing, makes me think of the place that we're in right now, on the Emmaus Road. When Luke was writing this in chapter 24, it feels like we're experiencing the walk and talk of these friends along the road. Right, we're hearing the dialogue. We're getting a glimpse and this invitation into what is happening in that moment. So I feel like if there were a Steadicam, just like going right along in front of them, this is what it would be like. So as we're on the road again, of course, this road that we are on is the Emmaus Road. This is fantastic. That is not my slide. how scientific is that poll? I love it. Way to go, media team. Country Roads was high on my list, but amazing. So this Emmaus Road experience that we have been on, right, this road that we are walking with this pair of friends, we're getting a picture of what it was like with the unfulfilled expectations that they had, the disappointments that they were carrying along this road, what they had been processing, that just, right, hours before, having lost this teacher, this rabbi, this friend that they were following. So the unfulfilled expectations, the disappointments, make this story feel so relatable that I think we can find ourselves in this Emmaus Road story. Because who among us hasn't experienced disappointment? Who among us hasn't experienced confusion? Who among us hasn't experienced doubt or despair? Right, maybe that's the diagnosis of a friend or loved one. Those moments of despair in what is next. The disappointment of a broken relationship or a lost job. The doubt that comes when we've prayed and prayed and heard no answer. The confusion of division among us, in our country, in our churches. We step onto this Emmaus Road trying to make sense of what has just happened. And so whatever place we might be in today, continually we find ourselves needing God to be revealed to us. We're often looking for the great flashes of light, the dramatic break-in of the moment, some big encounter. And yet it is so often in the small and simple things that God is revealing himself to us. So friends, we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 24, verses 28 through 35 today of this Emmaus Road story. You can flip over there in your Bible, or it will be up on the screen for you as we read it together. But imagine that walk and talk scene is starting to come to an end, and they're going to hang out for a bit as they approach Emmaus and find themselves walking into a home. So hear this word from the Gospel of Luke. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning while he was with us, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Right, this is the place of revelation. Was it a shaft of light that came down from the heavens? Was it a voice calling out? Was it a neon sign saying, "This is him"? No. What was it? It was in the breaking of the bread. Right? This picture of them taking the bread, eating of it, and their eyes being opened. Is there another place in Scripture that that maybe resonates with? Does that bring an image of any other place for you? Someone ate something, and their eyes were opened. In Genesis chapter 3, we see Adam and Eve there at the base of the tree, and they take the fruit and eat it. Genesis 3, 6, and 7. And they took from the... I did not mean to do the 6, 7. Oh my gosh. Wow, and then the kids calling me out over here. Okay, all right. It was not an intention. That is where it is in Scripture. Okay. Wow. Pulling all the tricks on my last Sunday here before sabbatical. They took of it and they ate, and their eyes were opened. They could see that they were naked and that they felt shame. Right? It's in this place that the curse on humanity for all of salvation history points back to this story of where the curse enters in. Right? That we would choose to go our own way instead of following God's way. Instead of heeding the wisdom of the one who made us, we think we can be our own God. And so they tasted and saw, and their eyes were opened. But here, Jesus, breaking the bread, as they take it and they eat it, their eyes are opened to the reality of who this person is. That it is Jesus, the one who died 3 days earlier and is now with them, risen from the dead. This is the beginning of this new creation story that is being written, and we can find ourselves in it. Because we have gone our own way. And then Jesus being revealed to us. We taste and we see the goodness of God. At the core of humanity, at the core of who we are longing for connection. Ultimately searching for the presence of God. And while we believe that God is ever present, we recognize that in this world, full of difficulty, full of distraction, full of disordered desires, we easily find ourselves feeling alone, wondering where God is. There are some key ancient practices where, by grace, the presence of God is revealed in our midst. And when we find ourselves wondering and asking that question, where is God? Somewhere at our core, as we are searching, we know that God is everywhere. God is in our midst always. But are we feeling God's presence? And it's in that place that we need grace. That grace, right, is this way of God meeting us where we are. And so there are means of grace, these ancient practices, and this is just a short list of some of those, right, that we find and we hear from Scripture. Scripture can be that revealing place for us. Taking a walk with a friend or a mentor, speaking to each other, hearing the realities of life and how God is working in our midst. And in that space, praying together. Then in the breaking of bread, also a means of grace. Hospitality and welcoming of the stranger. And baptism. On the Emmaus Road, as they are walking together, we see at least three of these ancient practices unfolding as Jesus himself is revealed to the two disciples. Those three, hearing from the Scriptures, just before this passage, as Joel led us last week, hearing how Jesus was recounting the Scriptures to them, talking with them. It says, from Moses through the prophets, Jesus was telling them about the Messiah that was to come. Do you know anyone who is really good at that? Is there anybody in your life that just like they can just whip out Scripture and start pouring that over your life? You know, I have a person who just randomly cuts my hair sometimes because I'm a great clips guy and it's like no frills, just get in, get out, 15 minutes. But this person who I have been to just randomly multiple times, every time I've sat in her chair, in those 15 minutes, I have gotten the full story of Scripture and how God is working in her life giving her testimony in that moment. And now she started to remember that she's told me some of these stories before. And so we get to talk. She has no idea I'm a pastor, which is beautiful. And I get to just sit there and just soak it in. Give her a little banter back and forth. Right? It doesn't take somebody standing on a stage. Somebody that you might sit with over coffee. Somebody that you might go on a road trip with. There are opportunities, right, to hear from the scriptures in lots of different ways. The walk and talk is a big one here, right? Friends walking with one another. This withness of God is revealed in the walking of these two disciples, but then Jesus, who they don't recognize, coming alongside them. And then it is there, his withness, God's nearness, right? Even when things are not going well, when they are in this place of utter despair, to walk alongside someone is such a valuable experience. Caroline, can I call on you for just a minute? Will you be volunteer for me? I'm volunteering you. But so come right on up. You'll just give Caroline a hand. So let's do the walk and talk across the stage here, okay? All right. So thanks for leading us in worship today. And you do such a great job. And let's turn back. We'll make our way across. This ability to talk side by side, it's like actually if I came up beside you and you didn't just know it was me already, right? We could go on talking. You might not even recognize me for a few minutes, right? On where we're going, not tripping. But then if I come to you like this, right, that is a different experience. And it feels a little bit more, maybe confrontational. I am not confronting you about anything today. But that experience for us, all of us, as we are doing life with other people, are we coming to people in a face-to-face? And sometimes that's appropriate. But often, right, this means of grace that Jesus comes alongside them and walks with them. This is a means of grace. Thank you for that. Yes. How are we walking with our friends, right? The withness, our withness is often our witness to what God is doing. How God wants to reveal himself to us. And then in the breaking of bread, this is where their eyes were opened, right? That just as we celebrate this meal every week, right? Not as an empty religious practice, but as a means of grace of where we get to encounter what Jesus has done for us, being reminded of his suffering, his death, his burial, but then also his resurrection, that we join with him in all of it. The witness is the witness here in the breaking of bread also. And so how do they respond? Right? The disciples who are walking along this road, Jesus is revealed in that moment. As the bread is broken, what is their response? To run the 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Right? This Emmaus road from Jerusalem into Emmaus, 7 miles that they've been walking and processing. And then probably, right, they had invited Jesus in as it was getting late in the day. It's probably getting dark outside. But they say, we've got to go tell everybody what they've experienced. Even just this morning as I was processing this and these means of grace, one of the things that stood out to me, really a fourth of these means of grace revealed in this, is the hospitality of the disciples. What if they hadn't invited Jesus to stay? What if they were like, oh, nice talking to you. We'll see you next time. But that welcoming in of the stranger, the man that they knew not, they welcomed him in, and because they did, he sat at their table. And there, they were able to experience the breaking of bread. And so I think of that way of hospitality and welcoming those we don't even know. Maybe it's taking a walk with someone we don't even know. Right, in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their disappointment and their doubts, in this instant, it's turned to revelation. And they immediately have to go and tell people what they have experienced. So I want to encourage you in trying some of these practices, these means of grace. These three that are highlighted for us on the Emmaus Road journey. Reading the scriptures, hearing from scripture. Y'all, I love to listen to the word. My eyes and reading, sometimes I just get tired. But to turn it on, to hear it read, the audio just washing over me, to get to sit and listen, it feels like it ties me back to a place where we didn't all get to carry this around in our pocket, right? It was an oral tradition that was being passed on. And so to actually get to hear the word of God, the whole story of Scripture pointing to Jesus, the embodied revelation of God, and the deepest of love that lays down one's life for the sake of another. This week, consider just trying even 15 minutes per day. Open the opportunity to encounter God's presence by being in God's Word. Right there on the sermon notes page, if you, Brooke, do you have that QR code? This is the ticket. You can go there and see some of these notes and the opportunities to connect. Trying some of these practices in the daily application. Trying with the Lectio 365 app, or choosing a reading plan with the Bible Project, or even just set a goal to read two chapters of the Gospel of Mark this week. Try taking a walk with someone, maybe a friend, maybe a family member, maybe even a total stranger. Maybe just 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, or an hour. Is there someone that needs an opportunity to process the weight of what's happening in their world? Someone that needs to be reminded that God will never leave them nor forsake them. Someone who needs to see what it looks like to walk by faith in Jesus. Or maybe you're looking for that too. Looking for someone to walk with you in that. Give it a shot. And then in the breaking of bread, this revealing of who God is, I want to encourage you to try incorporating communion into a meal, around a table, with family and friends this week. If you've never had that experience before, celebrating communion at your table, y'all, you're allowed to do it, okay? You are allowed to bring your bread and your juice, and you can do it at your table. Collect the elements, take them, have them ready for each person at the table, and then consider starting or ending the meal with 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, which is this picture of what Jesus did with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed. You can pray together as you participate in these acts of remembering how Jesus gave his life to overcome the power of sin and death. All of those are on the sermon notes page. And if you have all of those figured out, if you have all of those practices and you're doing them all the time, Try the hospitality and welcoming the stranger in some way in your life this week. But today we also get to experience another means of grace. And that means of grace is the water of baptism. That we get to go today and see the revealing of God's presence in our midst. Right? We get to witness the presence of God, not through the clouds breaking open or a dove coming down in that moment. No neon signs, just a murky creek with, praise the Lord, a little bit more water today. It's in the simple elements of water to cleanse the depth of our soul, that we experience the forgiveness of sins and the life full of freedom. If you've never been baptized, today could be your day. If you have been walking on a road that you are experiencing the doubt and despair, if you're experiencing confusion or feeling a distance from God, maybe you've already been baptized, but today you need that reminder. Or maybe you want to see how someone else has come back to the Lord after having turned away. There are turnaround stories, and there's an opportunity to rededicate your life today as we go to the creek. So if you are, and if you've never been baptized and want to talk about that, if you have been baptized and you have been going through it and you just want to make a rededication today, all of that is available as we go to the creek. And then when we see it, when we see the revelation of God in the waters of baptism, we can't help but go and tell. In the same way of when Jesus is revealed to these two disciples on the Emmaus Road, when Jesus is revealed to us, when the presence of God is revealed to us, we can't help but go and tell the story. Just like the lady cutting my hair yesterday, she couldn't help but tell the story. Just like Mary Magdalene finding the empty tomb, meeting Jesus, just like Peter and John, as they ran to the tomb and all the way back to the woman at the well when Jesus told her everything that she had done, she couldn't help but go and tell everyone. So as we go to the creek today, we're going to do lunch first at Merritt's because I can feel the rumbling in the room. It is lunchtime. But I want to encourage you to be intentional about your walk to the creek. Walk with each other. Do the walk and talk to the creek. Think even now, who might you walk with? Or who might you want to walk with you? Get yourself ready to make that walk to the creek and let the Lord reveal himself to you today. Y'all, let's pray. Jesus, you are so good to us in the ways that you reveal yourself to us. Through these means of grace, ancient practices that we see even present here in the Emmaus Road. To hear the story of salvation from Moses through the prophets. And to see how you walk alongside each of us. You intentionally come alongside and in the conversation spur us on, increase the depth of desire in our hearts, burning and longing for you, revealing yourself to us in the breaking of the bread, and even just having the bread and the cup here available in front of us today, being reminded that those same words that you said with your disciples on that night that you were betrayed are the same words you spoke to these two disciples walking along the Emmaus Road, gathered there at their table. to give thanks, to bless it, and to break it such that we can't help but see you. And as we prepare our hearts to walk to the creek today to witness the beauty of baptism and the way you meet us to wash away all of our sins, past, present, and future, in that water, open our eyes to see, Lord. Reveal yourself to us again today, that we can't help but go and tell the good news of what you have done, your resurrected life, present and living among us. We give thanks and praise. All honor and glory are yours, Lord Jesus. In your mighty and holy name we pray.